May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
When did you first say the Lord's Prayer? For most of us, it was probably one of the first prayers we learnt and one of the first prayers we teach our children. Many of us will still say the Lord's Prayer daily, and certainly we say it together at every morning and evening prayer and at every Eucharist. It is a prayer which unites us, as Christians say it all over the world, even if it's said in different versions and, of course, many different languages. It was a great joy here at Pentecost when we all said the Lord's Prayer in our first mother tongue and a good number of languages were spoken. But we all know it's easy to say the Lord's Prayer without really engaging with the words we say. So reflecting on our gospel reading this morning, I'd like us to ponder more deeply the significance of the Lord's Prayer and what it teaches us about prayer in general. The disciples ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus himself has been praying, something that is particularly emphasised in Luke's gospel. And it may be that the disciples see something different in the quality of Jesus' prayer and his relationship with God. In one sense, they didn't need any teaching on prayer. As Jews, they would have had a regular discipline of daily prayers. So I'm not sure that what they're asking for is another set of words, more prayers and more liturgies. But rather, in a deeper sense, they want to learn to pray as Jesus prays. Perhaps as they come to see his complete trust and intimate dependence on the Father, they realise the poverty of their own prayers. So Jesus teaches them how to pray. He wants to enable them to enter into his relationship with his Father. So he emphasises prayer should begin with addressing God as Father. Of course, some Jewish prayers address God as Father, but not with the intimate Aramaic term Jesus uses, Abba. As an aside, Jesus, in using this term, is expressing a trusting relationship with God, not making a statement that God is male. In a sense, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, as we say, following the longer version in Matthew's Gospel, Our Father, that is perhaps the most important part of the whole prayer. All our prayers hang on the intimate, trusting relationship with God, which Jesus draws us into. To know God as our loving Father is the beginning and the end of prayer. It is foundational to all our prayers. The Lord's Prayer begins, Our Father. And it's good for us to remember that when we address God as Father, we do so in community with others. God is not just my Father, but our Father. Even when we pray ourselves alone, we are united with Christians all around the world and all down the ages. Now, we might perhaps expect that having addressed God as Abba, Father, the Lord's Prayer would follow immediately with an outpouring of our needs and concerns to the Father who loves us. This is no doubt often how our prayers do start. It's often how my prayers start. We jump straight in with our hopes, our fears, our sins, our failures, our need for strength, our concern for others. But it's striking to notice that the first phrases of the Lord's Prayer are not about ourselves and our needs at all. They are all about God. Think about the first section. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And as we say, following Matthew's version, your will be done on earth as in heaven. It's only after we have said this that we move on to ask for our own needs, for food, forgiveness, guidance, and deliverance. Jesus teaches his disciples to first look to God and to see our own needs in that light. And God is not just our loving Father, but the holy God of the whole universe. He is both intimate with us and transcendent beyond us. The Lord's Prayer begins by acknowledging God as God. It begins with adoration, worship, and a recognition that our will needs to be aligned with God's will. So perhaps it's important to remind ourselves about that with all our prayers. If we first seek God, if we are still before him in silent adoration, in praise and worship, we may find that our needs and our struggles, our hopes and our fears for ourselves and for others can be seen in a different perspective. As we acknowledge God's holiness, his power and sovereignty, we pray, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." But we're not talking in vague generalities. Our prayer must be that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done in our own lives and contexts. Again, we're reminded that this is the Lord's Prayer. In this prayer, we stand with Jesus. And Jesus himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." So as we pray this prayer, we are praying it with Jesus. It's not an easy thing to pray. We do not know what it will cost us. We do not know how or where God will lead us, but praying "your will be done" is basically our yes to God. What God asks from us is in what in one writer calls a willed passivity. That is, it's neither, on the one hand, me being in control and saying in effect my will be done and hoping that God will just simply back up whatever I want, nor is it on the other hand a fatalistic resignation to whatever comes. Rather, we are called to a willed passivity, to follow God's will wholeheartedly, to cooperate with his grace within us. So we are encouraged in our prayer to first look to God, to acknowledge his glory, to seek his presence in adoration and trust. Then from that position of adoration and trust, we move on to bring our own little lives with all our daily needs to the God who loves us. Give us today our daily bread. We are creatures who are dependent on God for everything. So we ask God for our daily bread, the bread necessary for existence. Perhaps we might be reminded of God feeding the Israelites with manna in the wilderness, Jesus feeding the 5,000, his words to the disciple, "I am the bread of life." When we ask for our daily bread, we are asking God for all we need day by day, both physically and spiritually. We cannot live by bread alone, and we need the spiritual nourishment that is in him. And I've often talked over the last few months about us needing to be spiritually nourished through God's word, as many of us do on a Thursday as we meet for our Lectio Divina session. But on the other hand, we do need physical bread too. I recently heard Claire Amos, who is well known in the Diocese of Europe. Some of you may know her. She actually does the job now that she used to do the job now that David does at WCC. She said that Christians across the world can be divided into those who, when they pray, "Give us today our daily bread," are thinking about a spiritual nourishment, and those who, when they say those words, "Give us today our daily bread," are thinking about the desperate need they have for the basic food they need to survive that day. That is a sobering reminder that we all just need what is necessary for us. But the reality is that we all clutch after and consume far, far more than we need in all kinds of ways. If those of us in rich nations consumed less, the planet would be in better health and the world would be more equal and just. The Lord's Prayer reminds us we are physical creatures and we are dependent on God and the fruits of creation. But the prayer is for the nourishment we need, not for overindulgence. Can we live more simply so that others may simply live? Now, of course, the climate emergency wasn't in Jesus' mind when he taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer. But I think it's relevant for us to keep that context in mind as we pray these words. Soon after I return from holiday, when we get back, David and I, we'll be entering creation season with Creation Sunday on the 1st of September. And for a few weeks, we will be particularly focusing on God's creation and how we can live more sustainably within it. And the Eco Group and others will be helping us in our thinking and action. And indeed, Julie and Ernest may have some things to add in these next few weeks. It's something very close to their hearts. So we ask our loving Father for our daily needs, physical and spiritual. We also ask God for forgiveness of our sins as we forgive others. And perhaps forgiveness is one of the most difficult aspects of the Christian life. There isn't time to go into it properly today. But it's important for us to notice that God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of others are linked. If God in his grace forgives us our failures and sins, then we ought to forgive others. And we need to ask for this forgiveness from God and one another day by day, just as we pray for our daily bread, because we often fail and we fail again. Someone once said that the spiritual life is about falling down and getting up, falling down and getting up again. Acknowledging our sins and being forgiven and praying for the grace to forgive others needs to be part of our daily prayer. We need God's forgiveness. We also need his guidance and deliverance, his protection and help. Do not bring us to the time of trial or lead us into temptation. There are several different translations of this phrase, and I know there's a bit of controversy at the moment with the Pope and how should this phrase be translated, but I won't go into that. We will at times be tempted and tested. God himself does not, of course, tempt us, but he may allow us to go through testing times. We pray for his protection, his grace, and strength for those times. Then, of course, the Lord's Prayer ends by focusing again on God. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, we say. The Lord's Prayer is not simply a set of words for us to say. It rather offers us a wider pattern for prayer, to come to God in trust as our Father, to look away from ourselves to him, to seek his presence and his will, asking for what we need. We all know prayer can sometimes be difficult, but we are to persist in prayer even when we seem not to receive an answer, as Jesus makes the point in the parable we heard this morning, while remembering that God is our loving Father who will always respond to those who seek him. We are to trust in God's love and goodness, to keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. Let us finally remind ourselves that we pray to God our Father because we are in Christ Jesus. As it says in our reading from Colossians this morning, continue to live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him. We are called to live in Christ, to share in his intimate relationship with the Father, to join our prayers with his. We can then, with confidence, call God our Father. Amen.